talk today some of the practical issues in chalitza and what the actual seder ha-chalitza is, what you see in an actual chalitza. So first issues just to talk about is the shoe. So what do you do with the shoe? The shoe has to be put on the right foot. We learned that from Gzeir Shava, of Raglo, Holtzmel Raglo, to the Raglo by Mitzora, that it says the dam is put on Bowen Raglo Hayimanis. It has to be the right foot. Now what if the Yavam is a lefty? So, we would think Pashat, what I would think. Right? We would definitely think is that just like we know by Tefillin, then by Tefillin is that a lefty puts his Tefillin on his right hand. It's switched around because his right hand is his left hand, and his left hand becomes his right hand. So that's what the Torah actually writes. He says just like by Tefillin, a Yavam lefty will do Yivam on his left foot. However, Kamat Older Shon Marcholik, and they say that's not true. Why is that not true? Because it's only true by Tefillin. By Tefillin, the Pasuk doesn't say your left hand. It doesn't mention anything. It just says Yad Keha, Yad Cha, with the extra Hey. Yad Keha should be put on your weaker hand. So your weaker hand, okay. So if you're a lefty, your weaker hand is your right hand. So put it on your right hand. But over here, it says Yamin. Right? It's just like by Mitzora. You put it on the... You put the dam on the toe of the right foot. It has to be the right foot. Right foot is right. It's objectively right. So that's what most of Shonim hold, is that this lefty, the chiyuv pashas, it doesn't make a difference. He's lefty. Still, the chalitza is done on the right foot. So Rabban brings a raya to this, and he quotes a gemara in Bechoros Memhei, that says that a Kohen, who's a lefty, he can't do that avoda. Can't be a Kohen. Maybe knocked out 10% of Kohanim from being Kohanim. Why? Because there's a halach in avoda. Avoda has to be done with the right hand. Why? Because there also we find there's a pasuk talking about the taharas hamitzora, that the Kohen sprinkles the oil of the mitzora with his right hand. So everything has to be done with his right hand. All the actual avodah has to be done with his right hand. And therefore, a Kohen who's a lefty, he doesn't have a right hand. That's what the Rabban understands the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Kohen is a lefty, he can't do the avodah because of this reason, because the avodah has to be done with the Amin, and he's a lefty. So understands the Rabban, that means that a lefty, he still has to be'etzem do chalitza with his right foot, because right is right, but the Rabban goes further, and he says, a Kohen, he can't do avoda. Why can't he do avoda? Let him do avoda with his right hand. No, but there's a problem. He has a right hand. It is right, but it's not completely the right hand, because he's a lefty. Meaning, a lefty doesn't make his left hand into his right hand, but his right hand loses the mila of right hand, and therefore it can't be a Kohen. So the Rabban understands this by a Kohen. The Rabban says something, it's almost hard to say over. He says, therefore he thinks that a Yavam who's a lefty can't do Chalitza and has to do Yibum. So Ephraim says, that can't be. Why can't that be? Because I've been learning, we spent months learning Yivamis. We know the Gemara is talking all about people who are Choletzes V'lo Misi Avemes. That's the whole Masechta is Choletzes V'lo Misi Avemes. Oh, a little exception. If you're a lefty, you can't do Chalitza. Maybe the Avem is left in Aguna. Like, how is this left out? Also, how is it left out that a Mitzora, who's a lefty, can't become Tahar? Yeah.
What does the dominance of your hands have to do with your feet?
Oh, so that's a funny thing. So in the Svarim on Halacha L'Maisa of Chalitza, they write, it goes by which foot you step with. Whenever you step, if you're a righty, you always
step with your right
100%
foot.
100% of the time, your first step is with your right foot.
You have a preference.
Right. You're fine. It's even hard to step.
I think
it was
like a skateboard. How you position yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
Oh, okay, good. Skateboard. Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. So there's such a thing. So Mela, you could hear maybe that could be a way out of it. Maybe that really could be a way out of it. Say it doesn't go by the feet in the same way. Okay. But this is what the Ramban actually writes as Lamaisa. So the other Rishonim don't say it this way. The Ar Sameach in Halchasim V'Chalitza Perek Dalet, so he writes it's like a Pel, the Ramban never said such a thing. For other reasons, the Pel, he says, because that's not the Pshat. That's not Pshat in the Gemara Bakohanim. Apparently the Ramban did think that was the Pshat, but he says the Pashtus is the way it's brought on the Ramban, is that a Kohen who's a lefty, it's a problem of Balmum. Meaning, there's an inyan of mumin. There's really two levels of mumin we find in Maseches Bechoros. One is an absolute mum, one of the mumin mentioned in the Torah. And if a Kohen has one of those mumin and he does Havoda, the Havoda is possible. It's Mechal the Havoda. However, there's another level, lesser level of mumin, that are just mumin lechatchila. And those mumin are anything, that any way that the Kohen is unusual. Deficient, somehow different than your ordinary Kohen, so we shouldn't do Avoda. And on that note, in Mishnah is dealing with that type of psul, it's mentioned this psul, and the Gemara actually says, because it's Hocha Yemino, that is, Yemin is weak. Meaning he's going to have to do the Avoda with his right hand, because the Kohen has to do Avoda with his right hand, and right, objective right is right. But he's going to be a lefty doing a Avodah with his right hand. It's going to be, it's difficult, right? To say. Same way it's hard to write with the left hand. It's hard for a lefty to shech the karbon with his right hand. So therefore, actually could shech with his left hand. I take that back. But to be zorik the dam with his right hand will be hard. And that'll be something that's... taking away what the Gemara calls, it's not Shavu B'Zayar Shal Aaron, and therefore it's possible. He says, but Avada, he says, Avada is Pashat, that Legabe Chalitza, the lefty does Chalitza with his right foot. So that's accepted Lahalacha. The Yikri does Chalitza with his right foot. As a Chumra, we're Choshesh for the Torah, and we say the lefty does Chalitza on both feet. Now, what if the Yavam is missing his right foot? Amputee, he's missing the right foot. So, if you look at Gemara Rashi, so there's nothing to talk about, very Pashat, absolutely Pashat. The Mishnah tells us, the first Mishnah, that if it's Merkuvo Lomala, if his foot is amputated above the knee, so then he cannot do Chalitza, and the halacha will be, even Bisman Hazed, the halacha is he has to do Yivam. But if it's been Arkuva, Lomata, it's he still has some of his calf left, the lower foot left. So in Mela, he does do Chalitza with some sort of, it'd have to be a leather prosthetic, a fake foot, some sort of leather foot, and with that he'll do Chalitza. That's Pashat, if you took about Rashi, but in Tosfos, the Shulchan Aruch is choshesh for Tosfos. Tosfos has a chiddush. Tosfos says that no. If someone has no foot, they can't do chalitza bechlal. There's nothing for them to do. They have to do yivam. They have to do chalitza. He says, what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara says that if min harkuva lamata, he can do chalitza. So the Gemara has a kasha. It says, aye. But Lamaisa, it says regal, raglo. Regal is the foot, I mean from the ankle down, like by Kiddush Yitav Raglayim, or by Alil Regal, then he has to have an actual foot. It says no, but Chalitza is different because it says Ma'al Raglo. Ma'al Raglo. Ma'al Raglo means even the calf. And therefore Rashi says, yeah, even the calf, even though he doesn't have a foot, but since he has a calf, and he walks with that, he's able to walk with his calf, so therefore that's called Ma'al Raglo, and he could do the Chalitza. Tosu says, no, if someone doesn't have a foot, he also doesn't have a Ma'al Raglo. A guy without a foot, there's no Ma'al Raglo, even his calf isn't good. He says, so what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is talking about a person who has a sandal, but he doesn't tie his sandal to his foot, right? It's not like the shoelaces, our shoelaces, which is actually tied onto our foot, but he wraps the straps of his sandal onto his calf, right? The way you see in old pictures of like Greeks and Romans, that they have their sandal and then it's wrapped up along the bottom of the foot. And it's telling us that we would have thought that that should be pasul because you're being cholitzit, because you're doing part of the chalitza, the untying of the sandals being done on the calf and not on the foot. This is above his foot. But if he doesn't have a foot, he doesn't have an above his foot, and mamela, he can't do chalitza at all. So that's Tosa Shita. Emes is a harder read in the Gemara, if you'd ask me. But fine, that's the sheet of Tosa, and that's brought halacha lamaisa, person's missing a foot, he does yivam. Zman hazeh Ashkenazim. They do yivam, even if the yavim's already married. We don't worry about chayim to Rabbeinu Gershon, but makam mitzvah yivam, and that's what they do. Haven't heard of it. definitely been interesting. Fine, but that's the straight, cold Shulchan Aruch. So I saw a nice tshuva in the 3-day Eish of Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg. So in his tshuva, Chelk Aleph Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph. So he was presented with an interesting shayla. The shayla is that the woman fell to Yivam, to a Yavam who was missing his right foot, and he was Meshumet. He was off the derech. So she couldn't do Yivam with him. Not to mention, he says, she can't do Yivam to him, you can't have deal with the Meshumet, and you're not going to let this woman be married to Meshumet. The Meshumet also is not, you know, he's had enough troubles with me. This isn't going to turn him on to Yiddishkeit. So, I don't know. Whatever the story is, he says that was not a possibility. So he was matter. Why was he matter? So the probably the eker part of his heter is Rashi. Is to say Rashi is that he could do use a fake foot, since he did have under his knee. So use that, rely lakula. Eyes neged Shulchan Aruch that you can't do chalitza. So he says be mitzdar for Rabbi Hudai Gon. He spoke about Rabbi Hudai's gon shita. That a meshumid is not zokik to yivam. It's a sheet that we don't hold by, but he says, could use that as a sniff. His other sniff was to use the Torah, to say maybe also do chalitza on the left foot, right? Maybe say now that he's lost his right foot, now his left foot is going to be like his right foot. So there's another sniff. That's a little bit of a weak sniff. Because even the Torah, I don't know if you would say that. Because by tefillin, actually, at least in Mishnah Berurah, that's not the din, right? Let's say someone's a righty, puts in tefillin in his left hand. Chalila, he loses his right hand. So Mishnah Berurah says you can still keep putting on tefillin. Right? He needs someone else to help him. But he keeps putting on his tefillin on his left hand. We don't say, oh, now his left hand's become his right hand. You say, no, Lamaisa doesn't have two hands, but Lamaisa, this is his left hand, and therefore he keeps putting on tefillin on his left hand. So that's what Mishnah Berurah says. The Shri Deish was thinking not that way, that once he loses his right foot, now his left foot becomes his right foot. That's possible. In any other case, he's matzah the woman, Baruch Hashem, right? If not so, she'd be left anaguna. Also, another thing's done interesting, just in the Seder of Chalitza, we're very worried about chatzitzos on the foot. Why are we worried about chatzitzos? So it's not mentioned in the Gemara, there's a problem with chatzitza, but the Gemara says that it's ma'al raglo, v'lo ma'al de ma'al, it can't be above, it's just above his foot, and therefore, if a person wears two pairs of shoes, and takes off the outer pair of shoes, it's not a good chalitza. Okay. So it's understood in halacha, though, more chamer than that. That means ma'al raglo, it has to be mamash, the foot on, the shoe on the foot. It has to be that there's no sakonis directly on his bare foot. Not only that, he can't have any chatzitza. He can't have a bandit on his foot. Not only that, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is to wash the foot very well. Make sure the yavam doesn't come with unclean feet. He has to come with very clean feet, so there shouldn't be a chatzitza. I heard a maysa about just about Rav Moshe. Interesting thing that Rav Moshe was mak, but he himself would wash every yavam who came to him for chalitza, he would wash their foot. So I thought it was amazing, just enough of myself. Like, how many rabbanim would be happy to sit there and wash someone else's foot? I heard I asked Rabbi Tendler, you know, he's a close grandson, close Talmud of Rav Moshe. He said that no, in Europe, that was a pretty standard thing to do. In America, you don't see it much, but in Europe, maybe it's a gedol maysa about that enough in Europe. But I tried to figure out like why they do it. But that's to be master of the foot for chalitza. So I saw there's a yid, Rav Ayelev Grosnas from England. He wrote a kuntris. He was asked a shayla, what's the din? He was doing a chalitza, and the yavam had a bandage that was difficult for him to remove from his foot. So what did he have to do? So he responds barichus, but he responds something that I think is pashut, is that it's not a problem as long as it's not on the roof of the foot. Right? The only problem is the shoe just has to cover roof of the foot. Mamela, as long as the shoe's covering roof of the foot, what do I care if he has a band-aid on? Maybe probably has a band-aid on the top of his foot. Who cares if he has a band-aid? Lamaisa, right? Lamaisa uses a sandal, right? He can use a sandal, doesn't have to have a top bachlal. It should cover roof of the foot, but it doesn't, so the band-aid will just make it, it's not covering 100%, but as long as roof of the foot's covered, that's the din that a shoe is kosher as long as it covers roof of the foot. So I thought that was totally pashut. Dayan Weiss wrote a tshuva to this Rav Grosnas saying he disagreed. Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Dalin. And he says, based on the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yutes, mentioning a lot of Kachim today, that it just mentions there that a Kohen can't wear a ring, or if a Kohen has a band-aid, even on one finger, it's a problem because the chatzitza between his hand and the kli. It says he has to take the kli, it has to be taken by him, and therefore there's a chatzitza between his hand and his kli, and that's the problem. So this is something that many people know about. It's brought also in Hilchos Lulav as well. The Rama writes, there, Tafresh Nun Aleph, the Rama writes that a person cannot take lulav while he's wearing his tefillin. Why? Because there's tefillin, he has the tefillin wrapped in his hands, and the tefillin ritzuos are a hefsik between his hands and the dalaminim. It's an interesting thing, I was surprised to see it, but I saw in the post talking about what can we do with Mulam is chos. There's so many gedolim who wear rings even when they're taking arba minim. That's right, I just thought found that. What? Sparadim. Yeah, you know, whatever. The world's kind of more yeshivish. But as Rav Ramah says, it's the chatchila, but the yevet, it's still a good tila. The taz in the back says, no, it's ma'akiv, even with the yevet.
So you can't wear gloves or anything.
Can't wear gloves. Women also. Women also should remove their rings. You know, so it's.
That's why they take someone off before Hal?
Well, so I think take it off anyway, just because it's, you know, Hal is so yumped of dick. It's probably also Minhagen, but if you're not into those Minhagen, if you're real, yeah. If you're real Ashkenazi, so yeah, that'll be a good reason, right? If on Pesach. On Pesach, actually, some people do wear during Hal, do wear tefillin. So, that would be a, yeah, that is true. So I thought, l'chayra, it's l'maisa, you can't get out of the raya that it's okay. L'maisa, the shoe does not have to cover the whole foot. What do I get? It's a bandage. L'chayra, the pshat is that anything that needs a l'kicha, like a klisharis or arbaminim, so there, the whole hand is taking it. It's being taken by the whole hand. Right? If you would subtract the support being given to the Abraminim from the the ritzuos of the tefillin, that part, if that was just like subtracted, the whole lekicha of that, so could be you wouldn't hold it anymore, right? Could be it would fall out, right? It's being held by the whole hand, so you don't have any chatzitza, but by a shoe, right? Lechayra that shouldn't be. Okay, so pashas it should not be a problem.
Really?
Yeah. Chatzitza
on her hands,
so I didn't see anyone talk about it. What do we know about her hands? So there's a din by her hands, it has to be done with her right hand. Right? Poskim say al-gavi. This is interesting. Poskim say if she's a lefty, she should do it with her left hand. Because here it's just, it doesn't say she's doing with her right hand, it just says.
Just her right hand?
What?
To remove the shoe with just the right hand?
Just the right hand. So what they do is they tie it with a knot that could be pulled out with one hand. And she does the whole chalitza just with her right hand.
Uh-huh.
So.
What?
Yeah. I had someone who offered to do that. So let's talk about one last Indian here. And this is the Indian really that actually upsets me, because this is an Indian that I think about half of the Bati Dinim in America do it wrong. Well, I don't say that lightly. I spoke to some Rabbanim and I was not happy with the answers I received. And that's the Gabi the Rikika. Right? You have to spit. So spitting, what's hard about that? So someone told me they're at a chalitza and they washed the spitting. And they didn't spit. What do? The woman, she was told by the Dayanim to just allow saliva to accumulate in her mouth. And then, I don't want to be so graphic, but just to let it like fall out of her mouth onto the floor. And he asked the Rav, why did he do that? He says he heard to do that because you don't want to spit, because the Dayanim have to see the spitting. And to see the spitting, you want it to be like really easy to see the spitting. What he said. So I tried to find out more about this. I found this mostly coming one Rav who really held this way. Everyone else. So this particular Rav, the Dayan, said he really didn't know anything about it. I asked him all my problems, my questions, basically being that's not spitting. He said he really didn't know. He didn't have a Masorah. This is just what he was told to do. Okay. You sort of imagine the head dying on a chalitza bezin, really, is like, knows things klar. Okay, but, what do I say? So I spoke to the person, he wrote an English book on this. I'm not going to say his name, because if so, I don't feel so free talking against it. And he writes, he didn't use the word spit. He just says she accumulates saliva and lets it drop. So I called him up and I asked him, like, where's this coming from? Where are you getting this from? So he says, well, he heard this, that Rav Moshe says you should spit gently because the Dayanim should be able to see it. I said, but that's, what do you mean drop? What do you mean drop? So he says, I'll tell you why I did it. He says, women are very bothered by the idea of spitting. He said he has times, he has all sorts of interesting stories where women, they said the idea, spit at her brother-in-law, and none of that. He said, he told me a maisa, that there was a chalitza, and they didn't want to do chalitza because the Yavam and the Yavam's wife, right, as a married Yavam, the Yavam's wife said, I don't want anyone spitting at my husband, I'm just not going to allow this. So he said, the way the Dayan got them to do it, he said, they're not spitting at you, they're spitting at the rabbis. And they said, oh, okay, that's good. So he said, he just took out the word spitting. So I just want to tell you what I think about this, just because a lot of problems here. The obvious, just that words have a meaning, right? V'yarka b'fanav, and the concept is that it should be a bizayon. It says kacha yasel ish, yibim v'vazahim. Right, stamp saliva exiting the mouth, is that yirika? So it's interesting, the Gemara has a question. The Gemara asks on Kaf Hey, it says, what if she spits blood? Does that work? And the Gemara says, yes, that does work. Because it doesn't say v'yarka roke. Say spit saliva, it just says spit. The point is the spitting. So the chayra, it's not that the saliva isn't the point. The point is, it's not the saliva exiting from the mouth. It's the act of spitting. You have to actually spit. In the Yamshel Shlomo, the Yamshel Shlomo here in the end of the parak, he has a Seder Chalitza, and I saw his lashon is v'tarok b'mitun u'bekoach. He has to have a deliberate and with koach, with forcefully he has to spit. In the Rush, Russian Seder Chalitza, which is also at the end of our parak, he says v'zorekes rok mipia lefanav. It's a funny thing. I looked at other svarim besides this English Sefer. Mitzvah Chalitza Kehelchasa, which is Eretz Yisrael's Sefer, the best Sefer on Chalitza with Haskamas from all the Gedolei Torah. It just says it has to be B'koach, it didn't bring any other Shita. I didn't know like exactly how this came. I wanted to know what Rav Moshe said. I asked Rabbi Tendler, he told me that, I told him what this Rav said. He says, that's absurd, of course you have to spit. The Pasuk says to spit. He says, Rav Moshe said it should be gently. But partially you have to spit. This interesting thing, it looks like you know, the person watching it says it wasn't a bizayon to the Yavam, it was a bizayon to the Yavama. She's standing there drooling. It's like such a... Anyway, I thought it was a very modern thing. But one point I just wanted to say what was bothering him, the idea of spitting. You know, that's something that I saw, you know, seems to be a little bothering. I saw Mrs. Chalitza Kehelchas was spoke about this, is that it's a little bit strange. Why are we spitting at the guy? Right? Spitting at a person is a big, it's an einish. And you spit at someone, what did he do wrong? He knows Abishal, right? He also learned Yavamis. Abishal. So I just want to say, what's that about? Why is it something, you know, it shouldn't be, it seems, you know, like spitting like Elu, the whole thing sounds a little bizarre. So first of all, there's the Chassam Sofer, so it gives one nice hezer, which is good to know. Is that first of all, it's not true, right? We all know Ashkenazim don't do Yivam, but it's not mamish true, because in Shulchan Aruch is Paschal that if a person would really be Lishma, if he'd mamish be Lishma, go do Yivam. Right? Yivam is because Rechosh is not Lishma, but an emissa tzaddik, emissa person would be able to do it. Sam Sofer says, therefore, the person deserves an onish because he's not a Kaddish. If he's a Kaddish, Taka wouldn't do this. It's an interesting thing. Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about the spitting, what it's about. So the emissary says the spitting has to do with the onesh is to the Yavam because he doesn't understand the Kedusha of Bia. Kedusha Sabia. What does he mean? So just... let me add a little point here. The whole din of chalitz of yivum in the Torah is by erva onan, right? Onan isn't giving zera; he's being mashkes his zera. The iser is the iser of hashchas zera. You know, kedushas hazera. Maybe that's why you know period of rivias in yivam. It's an inin of kedusha. Tamar, okay, Yehuda, different question, but Tamar who the shema goes and gives herself over to a possible misa to be able to do yivam. She's zocha to get peretz from that yivam. Peretz, who's the beginning of the line to Melech HaMashiach. The kedusha Mashiach is produced through so this sort of a kedusha to the zera. Oh, so. There's another medrash, I don't know if you saw this, there's Peltic medrash, Parshas Vayeshev. Right? Maybe you saw this on the Maisa of Tamar. It says, Rabbi Yossi says, regarding the Kedusha of Yivim, he says, he did Yivim five times, and he was careful to do it with absolute kavanah, the Shema of giving Zera, the shame, giving toldos to creating toldos. And that produced, he said, five Gedol Yisrael. It gives the names of all the kids of Rav Yossi had five kids who were Gedol Yisrael. So the inin is the Kedusha. So it says Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's the inin of spitting. Spitting, it says about Zera, that kol Zera she'eno yora kecheit, eno mazriya. That the Zera, in order to be mazriya, it has to be yora kecheit, it has to shoot forth. And it says, that's what the Eureka is showing. Look what you did. You had the koach of Kedushin, you to be Zaira Kechet, your Zera, and build Gedol Yisrael, and instead we're spitting at you. Look, your Zera is like garbage. It's like they're spitting. That's what he says. It's like, this is the Messiah. Also, that's also a kapara. You don't have the kedushi tell. Were you, were you completely careful in the kedushas hazara? And if so, maybe you have right to say, you don't deserve this. But then, lechayr to yivim. I don't know if Ashkenaz ever to yivim, but that's the mitzvah, and lechayr it should be with the kavana, right? Lechatchila chalitza needs kavana, and meaning. Rekika is not ma'akeh Baruch Hashem, which is very nice. This is all just a mitzvah, but mitzvah needs kavanah. And kavanah should be, I am spitting at the yavam and being mevazim kachi yaseh l'ish. Okay. All right, Rabbi Isai.